Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to another edition of Dome Theory. Back on the show, Dan Scott, Nate Sperling, Old Milk. I'm Bobby Manning. And let's get right into it. Playoffs underway. We didn't get to do a prediction show. I had to pull in Elijah Hughes for that to give some hot takes. And we'll go series by series here, see what you guys think so far. And why not start with the Celtics? Celtics Heat, 1-0 as we record this. Just domination in game one. And I'm bummed a little bit. I still think Miami can put up a fight as they did at different points in that first game, go on some runs, play physical, muck it up a little bit. But it looks like they have an uphill battle to win even a game, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, they always have an uphill battle. That's why we always have some sort of faith in them. They always have some type of uphill battle, and somehow they always either make it competitive or they come out on top. This case, it seems like they're aiming more, or they should be aiming more, to make it competitive just because of the powerhouse that Boston is. It's going to be tougher with Jimmy Butler out, but they still have Bam Adebayo. Honestly, the real thing is Tyler Hero has to show up. They paid him all that money. He should be getting 30 a game for the amount of money that he's getting paid. We'll see if that happens. But that's really the one thing that I've noticed from watching that game one, that the Heat are missing. They're missing that scorer, who could like score at will. Obviously having Jimmy Butler out hurts. Also having Terry Rozier not play also hurts as well. So they were significantly handicapped, but at the same time, like, Coach Spo is the best coach in the NBA. And just based off that alone, I expect the Heat to make it competitive.
Duncan Robinson also injured. Do they have enough, Dan?
I don't think they have enough. When we say making it competitive, I think they can make a couple games close, but I don't think they'll win a game this series, to be honest. The way that they're playing, more importantly, the way the Celtics are playing, they're not letting up. There was that little run that the Heat went on towards the end. And, you know, you might point to that as Celtics being loose, but the Heat just don't have enough to overcome this Celtics team, top to bottom. They're just, you know, at points it was like we weren't sure if they're really trying. Like, it's crazy. You can bring in the bench guys and just keep the production going. And I don't think the Heat can afford to, for a full game, combat that. And so I think it'll be competitive. That's probably chalk it up to Spo, chalk it up to Bam Adebayo kind of getting going, maybe Tyler Hero. But I don't think the Heat have enough to even really win a game this series. I would be surprised if they do.
I still think they can fight and get a game or two. Two would be surprising, and that'd probably be a problem for Boston if it gets to that point based on how game one went and how Miami looks. But it's hard not to think that the Heat are screwed here. The Magic, the other team from Florida, also looking in a rough shape. My Magic, they can't put the ball in the basket. And I didn't realize, watching them closely, the level Franz Wagner is struggling at until these last couple of games here. And I guess it's been going on for a little while here, his shooting struggles. They can't put the ball in the basket. Suggs got banged up last night. Cavs up 2-0. Again, I don't love judging these series until they flip sides to the other city, because so often we've seen it go 2-0 and then 2-2. And the Orlando defense is pretty dynamic. Tough, though, to not have a scoring threat in that backcourt and go up against Garland and Mitchell and even Strus, who I think has been fantastic for Cleveland this year. So they finished regular season rough, Nate, but it looks like they're in a position to at least move on to round two here.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Out of all the playoff series, this is the one that I care about the least. It's not even close. I got to be
honest.
NBA
TV series.
I just don't care about the Magic. I'm sorry. Like, I really just don't. The Cleveland Cavaliers are interesting because there are rumblings about Donovan Mitchell leaving. The chemistry between him and Darius Garland isn't as seamless as we would like it to be. Mobley hasn't taken that next step offensively that people expected him to. Jared Allen is still really good. Like you said, Max Strus also, he plays his role well. But besides that, like, just looking at the roster top to bottom, like, I don't think anyone's expecting them to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or like compete against Boston or anything like that. I don't think anyone's expecting that out of both teams. So it's really like a participation medal series.
Especially when they're going against the Celtics potentially round two there, which, you know, they've given the Celtics some trouble here and there. But is there any reason to think the Magic can win a game or two here, Dan, and make this competitive?
So I've said it all along, the Magic really struggle to beat good teams. And granted, you know, they arrived sooner than we'd expect, but they're still a young team. And the Cavs, while they're young, they got battle tested. They got punked last year by the Knicks. And I really love
this. This is a great matchup for them.
I really love how they come out with that physicality. It was exactly what was lacking last year. And even during this year at times, you know, we didn't see that physicality from the Cavs. And I love that they came out against the Magic, a team that is more physical, a team that is more dynamic, and they've pretty much just handled business. And so I think you go into Orlando, you think, hey, maybe they could win a game or two. But as you said, Suggs is banged up. I don't really like the youth that they have, that the Magic have to be coming back from down 2-0 with how physical this series has been. So they may get a game. This series may go five. I'd be surprised if it goes six, but I think the Cavs take care of business. And one thing that I will say, the way the Cavs are playing now really surprises me. And I think it's something that could give the Celtics problems. I don't think, you know, they would be beating the Celtics in a series, but I could see them pushing the Celtics six games, maybe even seven, if Donovan Mitchell has one of those Donovan Mitchell playoff runs and the rest of the supporting cast shows up. I think the Celtics could have trouble with this team.
Hold on, Bobby, I have a question. So Dan, right? Is the Cavs playing well because the Cavs are truly a good team, or is it because the Magic are that bad?
I think they're playing well, and I would say this, the Magic they're not a great team, but I think what the Cavs struggled with last year, the physicality, the rebounding, you mentioned Mobley, obviously offensively, he's still kind of limited, but him showing up on the defensive end, Jared Allen, them showing up, I think is something that I didn't think they would do in the playoffs. So when they go up against the Celtics, obviously that offense will have to show up more and Mitchell will get tested more. But on the defensive side, I really love what I'm seeing from them. And the Magic they're not the Celtics by any stretch, but I do think the way they're playing, they can match up decently well with the Celtics. Again, I don't think they'll win, but I think they're showing strides in the playoffs that could be trouble for the Celtics, I think.
It'd be a real series, I think. And I want to see what Orlando can do at home first before I rule them out, because they've competed all year. And it's weird to see them not even be close in this series so far against a team that they're not that much worse than. I don't know. Let's go to your series, though, Dan. Knicks pull off a miracle.
The series that we want to see.
Get a much-needed game, too. You can't drop a game on your home court against a team that can legitimately compete with you, and they stole that one back late. I like the final sequence there. A lot of complaints, a lot of controversy over that one. I feel like Maxey fell over. I feel like they just gave up on the boards, and Hartenstein comes rumbling in, and Dante DiVincenzo makes a big shot, a game winner. Brunson has struggled, and Embiid's been fantastic through injury, and Philly, they need him. If he's not out there, they're screwed. That's how the numbers have gone so far. When he's out there, they've won those minutes. So you keep an eye on that knee. It looks awful. They keep saying it's structurally sound. But this is what I told you, Dan. This is why I said you should have avoided this series. When he's on the floor, it's a ball game. And I know you're thrilled about 2-0, but this one very well could be 1-1 right now.
Yeah, I mean, it could be 1-1. It could be 0-2. But the fact of the matter is, when you hustle, when you're scrappy, things fall in your favor. And I think that's what we saw those first two games. I think that's something that we haven't seen from the rest of the Sixers. Joel's putting everything out there. Maxey's doing his thing. But the rest of the guys, I mean, Buddy Hield, non-existent. And that was a trade acquisition that they thought would have really helped Embiid if he came back. And now he's back and that guy's non-existent. Tobias Harris, launching bricks. He had a better game, but I mean, on the rebounding, on the defensive end,
10 points in 40 minutes.
Yeah, there needs to be more on that side, especially look at Embiid. Obviously, the Knicks are a great offensive rebounding team. 76ers did a little bit better, but when it mattered, he can't be the one guy down there in the paint trying to jump off one knee to secure the rebound. I mean, the Knicks are sending DiVincenzo, Hart. Everybody's going after the loose ball. And you look at the 76ers, everyone's just ball watching. And looking at Maxey and Embiid. So I think, yeah, you can make the case it could be 1-1, it could be 0-2 even, but top to bottom, I think the Knicks are more locked in on this series and 76ers just aren't all there. I give credit to Embiid for fighting through, for Maxey for showing up. Again, he's still early in his career and he's showing up big time on a big stage, but you need more than those two guys to beat the Knicks. And I don't think they're going to have enough as the series gets longer.
Go ahead, Nate.
First of all, Bobby, you can't think that Tyrese Maxey fell over because we have a 2-minute report and it came out that Tyrese Maxey was fouled. Wow. So there's no room for opinion anymore. It's just like a missed calls. Obviously, it's the playoffs. We can't cry about that, or nobody could cry about that. But let's just like acknowledge the fact that realistically, when you're looking at all the facts with this last 2-minute report, the Philadelphia 76ers had a game that was robbed from them. Tyrese Maxey was fouled multiple times. It came out in the 2-minute report. Also, Nick Nurse was trying to call a timeout and none of the referees saw it. That was also referenced in the 2-minute report as well. So
yeah, that one, overall, though, they have to see it.
Yeah, they have to see that. So overall, it's just bad refereeing. Honestly, I'm of the opinion that because of how much time Joel Embiid missed in the first place, it didn't make sense for him to play in this playoffs. Mainly because, one, you want to make sure that he's fully healthy. And I don't think anyone in the world is watching him and thinking, yeah, that guy's fully healthy. And two, the team just doesn't have much continuity because when Joel Embiid is off the court and when Joel Embiid is on the court, that's two different teams. And they've been playing one way for so long. Even Tyrese Maxey has missed games. So even then, like, that's like three different ways that they have to learn how to play. And within that, like, that just seems to be too much for everybody to handle. Additionally, like, Joel Embiid trying to do the dunk off the backboard, like, that was ridiculous. Fucking stupid. Like, you know your leg is hurt and you're doing that. That makes no sense. Tyrese Maxey showing up, I appreciate that. Buddy Hield, I mean, I don't know. Like, the team just doesn't – Tobias Harris as well. Like, the team just doesn't have the supporting cast around Embiid and Maxey. And it's not like Maxey and Embiid can carry because Embiid,
I'm amazed how much they are, though.
What'd you say?
I'm amazed how much they are carrying. And I said it going in. I said to Dan,
they are carrying
Embiid's
a lot,
right,
but in order
Embiid's
for them
right,
to,
they're gonna win. If he's not, they're gonna lose.
But in order for them to actually win, we need an Embiid that is actually 100% healthy in the playoffs. Even last season, last postseason, he wasn't fully 100% healthy.
And will
in the playoffs.
He last?
And look at, exactly, that's another thing too. Will he last? And look at how far they got and how close they got to advancing to the next level against the Boston Celtics with Embiid being hurt, with James Harden being in and out, with Tyrese Maxey being inexperienced. So all in all, like, I guess it's good experience. The person who's going to benefit the most out of this is definitely Tyrese Maxey. The confidence I expect that he's building from this series is going to just like carry on through the rest of his career. And I'm excited to see that. But as far as the rest of the 76ers and the 76ers hopes in general, it all is dependent on Joel Embiid's knees, and one knee clearly isn't working. And if that's not working, the 76ers aren't going anywhere.
Yeah. And I will say, I'll credit the 76ers for how they've had coverage against Jalen Brunson. They've really affected his shot. I feel like Nick Nurse, it's like his MO to disrupt
Oubre,
the number one
too.
Teams. And although they're not showing up in the stat sheet, they're definitely affecting him. I think the question I have, Embiid, let's say he keeps up. Again, he's on one knee, but he's dropping 30 points, 10 rebounds, getting his assists. Maxey's averaging 34. So if they keep that up, you know, they can be in any of these games. They could have won game one, game two. So I get what you're saying. Embiid needs to be 100%, but realistically, he hasn't been, and they could have won those first two games. I think it comes down to the Knicks' hustle. And also, what's keeping it close is the defense that they're playing on Brunson. Now, can that last? That's the question for me. I don't know. You know, at every level, Brunson's proven to be a winner. When the Mavs played the Clippers, they ran similar coverage against Brunson and were able to neutralize him. But you have to think, at some point, Brunson's going to figure it out. And we're already up 2-0. So it's just like the odds aren't in their favor, the Sixers. And, you know, credit to them, credit to Nick Nurse, but I just don't think they have enough. And hey, let's not forget, we're without Julius Randle. I'm a big Julius Randle hater, but I think especially in this series, it would have been nice to have another guy.
I think he's a loss.
And who can be physical. And I think if we had him in this series, it really wouldn't be close. And I'm really shocked to say that.
If you have him in this series, you have a guy who's going to shoot 30 shots and make like 9, and that's going to just sink the whole thing. But, and additionally, because he's been out for so long, then the Knicks have the same problem that the 76ers do in terms of lacking continuity and having to learn how to play with a big piece on their roster now being back in the fold again. So I think that Julius Randle, for better or for worse, like he's a good player. is he a great player? That's kind of iffy. And we need, the Knicks need great players. They need Jalen Brunson to be great. For what it's worth, I don't think Jalen Brunson has played necessarily terrible. I think that he has just been missing shots, and it happens to a lot of players. It happens, like, literally pick any point in the season, and we could tell you a player who has just missed shots. Like, they've done everything right, but have just missed shots. So I think with Jalen Brunson struggling the way that he has been struggling, I think the Knicks need to, first of all, finish off the 76ers. Don't give them any hope. And then when you're looking at the next round and you're looking at who potentially could guard Jalen Brunson in the next round, whether it's Tyrese Halliburton or whether it's Damian Lillard or one of the guards on the Pacers or the Bucks. Personally, I think the Bucks are going to win. We're going to get to that soon. I think that Jalen Brunson is going to have a better series in round two.
Yep.
Yeah, this feels like seven games to me.
The 76ers Knicks? It will not go seven games. I can tell you that.
Maybe not because the Knicks stole a game. That might bring it to six. But I just don't see them going down easily. They haven't so far. And if Embiid's out, that changes things. But while he's still in there battling, they're going to win a game or two or three here, potentially. So we'll see where that goes. I want to do Bucks-Pacers quick because they're playing tonight. The only thing I can say about it is that the first game surprised me. I thought the Pacers would show better than that. And Lillard went absolutely volcanic in the first half, and that knocks you down. They pulled within 10 or something late, the Pacers did. So I still have them in this series, especially if Giannis can't get out there. But man, to pick them and then see that game one didn't feel good.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Lillard is one of the best playoff performers we have in this league. That's exactly. Just the end of the story. He's shown up constantly. He's taken Trailblazers teams who have no business being in the second round to Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And because of that, like, Damian Lillard is the best player on the court, period, in the series. He's the best player on the court. And typically, a lot of people think that the team with the best player on the court typically is going to win, and that is the Bucks in this scenario. Additionally, it might be a little freeing for Damian Lillard to just be able to go out there and play basketball and not worry about having to share the ball with Giannis. They still need to work out that chemistry. The whole season has just been turmoil. And then you hear things about Damian Lillard and his struggles with his personal life right now. So I think I can guarantee to you that there's nowhere that he'd rather be but on the court. And I think that showed in game one. I think it's going to continue to show. The Pacers did make it more of a competitive game towards the end. But at the end of the day, like, they're an inexperienced team. And I just feel like when you look at what the Bucks do, what the Bucks have, they have they have many champions on their team, but in terms of like people who matter, like, you have Bobby Portis, you have Brooke Lopez, you have Chris Middleton. Like, they have a whole bunch of people who have been here before who know how to win playoff series. And then you have Damian Lillard, who is arguably one of the best players in the league, arguably one of the best scorers in the league, who literally gets to dominate the ball whenever he wants, and he gets to shoot it whenever he wants. And that proves to be a winning formula most times. So because of that, like, I didn't understand why everybody was overrating the Pacers. Well, not overrating the Pacers. Let me say underrating the Bucks. I understand Giannis is MVP, former MVP, former Finals MVP, former champion. I understand all that, but let's not disrespect Damian Lillard and the immense offensive scoring talent that he is. Like, one of the best scorers we've ever seen, period.
Yeah, I was shocked to see coming into the series people thinking, you know, the Bucks really didn't have a chance without Giannis, or they're going to have to battle and claw and maybe they could pull it off. I mean, it's Damian Lillard. He's brought much worse teams much further against tougher teams. I mean, the Pacers can score, but as we know, they don't play a lick of defense. And that's, that's the perfect team for Damian Lillard to go against, especially at this age.
It's a problem.
And I just feel like I was shocked to see all of the – oh, the Pacers are going to, like, run them all over the court and Dame's going to be exposed, this and that. I'm just like, it's Damian Lillard. If there's one thing that he can do is carry your mediocre teams in the playoffs. And the Bucks, as it is, they're not necessarily a mediocre team. They've underachieved. But as Nate said, they still got champions on that roster. They know how to win. They know how to win playoff games. So, I mean, it could be a long series, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not. And I think the Pacers really got to figure some things out. But it's the defense that's their problem, and that's been their problem the whole season. They're not going to just suddenly become a good defensive team. They're not going to be able to suddenly just be able to slow teams down, slow themselves down. They're going to play their basketball. And unfortunately, against the Bucks, I don't think that basketball is going to work.
I agree. We'll see how game two goes out there.
Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Right now, get up to 100% dollars and matching 100% and matching bonus up to $100. Just use the code CLNS when you sign up there. PrizePicks.com/CLNS. Simple. Pick more, less on player projections. 2+ players up to 6, and you're on your way. Fun for the playoffs right now. Head over there. Check out basketball, hockey, baseball going on right now too. So check out the app for all that and more. Use the code CLNS. And I want to give a shout out as well to PXG. Don't have the banner here, but PXG, great golf apparel for the spring, the summer. As it warms up, you're going to want to get out there. You're going to want to look good, and you got to look good to play good. So check out their polos, hats, shorts, all the rest over there. A bunch of great apparel for the course and off the course. It's PXG.com. Use the code GARDEN, PXG.com/GARDEN for 10% off your first purchase over there. Let's hit the West. Let's start with the Nuggets Lakers. It's amazing. Lakers keep giving this team competitive games, and they just can't win. Huge meltdown last night for them. It's a controversial ending, I guess, but you're up 20. You got to close that out, especially on the road when you have a chance to get an advantage in this series, because they don't have many, and they could get swept again here, even in 4 competitive games. It's amazing how much the series looks like last year's, even with the Lakers having better personnel, having Davis and LeBron healthier and playing at a higher level. So this one's been shocking.
Has it though?
Right.
Just based on how the games have gone, like the fact that the Lakers didn't get either of those games based on how they went, that was surprising to me.
It's the best starting five in the NBA. Like they're the most, they have the best fit out of any starting five in the NBA. They have a lot of continuity. They know, we've seen this team come back from 2-3-1 deficits in playoffs before.
Just one, I think.
Was it one? So who was the one who had two? Was it Utah? It was either Utah or Denver.
Did they do Utah too? Yeah.
One team definitely came back from, I believe it was Denver that came back twice from 3-1 off the strength of Jamal Murray. You have Nikola Jokic as well, who is MVP, probably going to win his third one. It's not shocking to me. I just don't like, this is the best starting lineup in the NBA. Jokic is an MVP. He just understands basketball in ways that very few people do. You have LeBron and AD on the other side. Cool. But like, besides that, who else can you rely on to contribute to a win? They go in and out. There are times where Reeves does it. There are times where D'Angelo Russell contributes. There are times where Rui Hachimura contributes. But in terms of who is that third guy on the team that I know for sure is going to show up for the Lakers, I don't have a clue. Additionally, Mike Malone is just a far better head coach than Darvin Ham. They're just completely outmatched. When you look at every single matchup, they're just completely outmatched. And then on the other side, you have someone who, in Nikola Jokic, who I already said, probably a 3-time MVP. We have Jamal Murray, who is someone who he plays relatively well. He's one of the players that he's good in the regular season, but he's great in the playoffs. And we're starting to see that. We saw that last night with him hitting that buzzer beater. The fact that he got the switch off of someone to Anthony Davis, the Lakers' best defender, and still hit that shot, insane. So we have a team in Denver that has beaten the Lakers, 10 straight times, including the regular season, including last year's playoffs. I just don't see how anything changes. They're just that good.
Yeah, and I think it's real disappointing when you look at D'Lo giving you like he hit like 6-7 three-pointers, and you look at the game that LeBron had. You know, I know people want to make a case and a story about that last shot, but you look at his overall game, you look at AD, and just the game they played for pretty much 3 quarters, it was like the best they could have played the Nuggets, and you had Jamal Murray struggling. that's the game you're supposed to win. Jamal Murray struggling, your two-headed monster of AD and LeBron playing well and D'Lo contributing. I mean, if you tell Darvin Ham that, you tell LeBron that before the game, you're going to say, I think that's our best chance to win. And to see it come down to...
He's going to have his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, to see it come down to that last shot, it sucked. It was unfortunate from the Lakers' perspective. But, I mean, it's got to come down to coaching. As you said, Nate, like Mike Malone, far superior coach. I think they said the Nuggets scored on like 8 of their last 9 possessions. I mean, as a coach, the Lakers, you can't allow that. And not only not allow that, but the possessions that you have offensively are just all over the place. You're calling timeouts just to run ISO ball. You're calling timeouts into turnovers. I mean, as a coach, that's on you. I know the players got to show up and they got to hit shots, but there were a lot of tough shots that they were getting leading into easy shots for the Nuggets. And I'm like, you're playing a championship team. You're not going to beat a championship team like this. And I think it comes down to coaching. I know guys like Austin Reeves didn't show up as much as we would have liked, but it comes down to coaching at the end of the day. And I think that's why I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers get swept. And we're not going to necessarily have another bad start to a game by Jamal Murray again. And we know that the Lakers are capable of losing and getting swept by this team. So it simply wouldn't surprise me. I think they will steal one, but I don't think it'll matter. I think we're going to get a gentleman.
I was going to say, you have a lot of sweeps.
I think we're going to get a gentleman sweep, and it'll come back to Denver for that last game. They'll close it out there, but I don't see them.
I think that's most realistic.
Yeah.
We got Thunder Pelicans too. I know that ending of game one pissed you off, Dan, the way the Pelicans approached it there. They had that game in their hands if they wanted to take it late, and they completely squandered it. That's some bad coaching down the stretch there too in that game. And Shea hits a big and one. He had that huge floater, a tough one too, through the foul on the closing segment of that game. But it was good to see the Thunder show out, clinch a game one. With all the doubts they had going into the playoffs, many people wondering if they're too young or not ready for this moment. But they won the one seed, and this is the advantage you get. That injured Pelicans team who came out of the play-in a little banged up. And I think they're going to win that series relatively quickly here with Zion out. But New Orleans isn't going to be easy. I don't think this one's a sweep either. This is like a 5, maybe 6-game series.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that the defense of the Pelicans is really helping them hold on to things. And Trey Murphy's showing up, Herb Jones showing up. CJ McCollum.
Good team.
I think CJ McCollum, we'd like to see some more from him. I know that last shot I was a little upset at and that last sequence, but I think they're capable. They're definitely capable of winning some games. And I think when you look at the Thunder's inexperience, it's something that the Pelicans could and should be capitalizing on. I think the one thing that's really holding them back is Brandon Ingram. And I think you expected more offense for him. And he's kind of had his shots at here and there. But, I mean, with Zion out, you got to get a lot of scoring from B.I. And I think at times he just seems unplayable. And you can't have a guy like that as your number two option. Should be potentially number one option. You can't have a guy like that unplayable in the playoffs and expect to win. So I think if he can turn it around, we could see this being a 6-game series. But other than that, I think the Pelicans will fight, but the Thunder should, I think, handle them pretty well.
What do you got on this one, Nate?
The Thunder, if I'm not mistaken, actually I'm looking at it right now, they only scored 94 points in the first game, and they won. That's probably a couple of things. That's, as Dan pointed out, the New Orleans Pelicans defense. A lot of it is also probably some nerves from the Oklahoma City Thunder. In other words, I don't see them playing this badly again. I think that this might be a sweep.
You guys in the sweeps.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, there's like only like
not many really teams sweep anymore.
But there's only like 2 to 3 playoff series in this first round that like we're like, oh, like what is actually gonna happen? Like the rest of them seem pretty cut and dry, straightforward.
Same.
Dan says that the Pelicans have a potential advantage because OKC is inexperienced. I'm looking at this Pelicans team. They're pretty inexperienced, too. I can't think of a Brandon Ingram moment. I can't think of a CJ McCollum moment in the playoffs. I can't think of a Jonas Valanciunas moment. I can't think of a Herb Jones moment. There's so many players on this team. And when you think about it and when you look at them on paper, they're supposed to be a lot better than what they are. A lot of it is that Zion gets hurt so often. But even then, like, I think this is just like a series that's youth on youth. And in that circumstance, the best team is going to win. The team that is the best in the conference by record is going to win this. And I just don't see Oklahoma City scoring under 110 points in any one of these other games.
Ingram can be brutal too. Let's move on quickly. These two series are going on tonight. So just your broader thoughts on them and where you see them going. Start with Clippers Mavs. Looks like Kawhi's back after missing game one, but they win that one pretty surprisingly. A lot of love for Dallas coming into the series, including for myself. I had them squeaking that one out in seven. It's clearly a seven game series to me, given what both these teams bring into it and some of the battles they've had in the past. But with Kawhi back in the mix, do they get the upper hand, Nate?
1,000%. I mean, my only issue with game one is that Russ didn't play as much in the fourth quarter as he should have. because you're laughing, but like seriously, when you watch the Clippers, they're kind of lethargic without Russ on the floor. And when Russ is on the floor, it's a completely different energy. He's the most important player. Everyone plays so much more inspired and aggressive. And that's the Clippers team that is needed for them to ultimately, if they really, really want to win a championship. And I didn't really understand. I thought that the reason why towards the end of the fourth quarter, they started losing that lead was because Russ was off the floor. I just don't understand why Russ doesn't play more. Besides that, though, like you have James Harden who showed up in game one. Paul George was a little iffy. Zubac, I have not seen Zubac post up and score all season, and he does it like three or four times in a series. Another thing too, I think that a lot of people are overrating the Mavericks. Everybody's talking about how they're 15-1 with the starting five, but look at who they played. They played a cupcake schedule. So 15-1 is cool, but who are you playing against? It's not like they're playing the Nuggets one time, playing the Lakers the next day, they're playing the Pelicans the other day. They're playing like the Hornets and like the bottom of the league in this 16 game stretch where they're 15-1 with that starting lineup. Now that being said, like I believe in Luka Doncic. I think Luka Doncic is a great player. I think that Kyrie Irving is a great number two player, probably one of the best number two options of all time. When you think about his contributions as a number two option. But the Clippers just have too much firepower. Like they have Kawhi Leonard, they have Paul George, they have Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Zubac is really good. Terrence Mann is getting me a little annoyed, I'm not going to lie. Amir Coffey also getting me a little annoyed, I'm not going to lie. But even then, like if the Clippers have a struggle defensively, you put PJ Tucker in. If they have a struggle offensively, you put Norman Powell in. Like everything is just coming together so well. The only issue, again, Kawhi didn't play the last eight games. Russ missed like 5 weeks, but like he still got back in time for them to be a little bit to be a little bit more continuity with the team. And that's really my only concern. Like Ty Lue, he's won a championship. He's one of the best coaches in the league as well. I just don't see why everybody's picking the Clippers. I'm not the Clippers. Everybody's picking the Mavericks over the Clippers. Like this is going to be some type of sweep. Like it should have been even. If anything, it should have been the Clippers up because the Clippers have proven guys. Not saying that the Mavericks don't have proven guys, but at the same time, like the Clippers just have more proven guys. Like they have more guys who have accomplished a lot in this league, and I think that it's honestly kind of disrespectful that everybody's just looking at this 15-1 record that the Dallas Mavericks starting five have together. And everyone's like, oh, that's going to beat the Clippers. Like it's Kawhi Leonard, it's Paul George, it's James Harden, it's Russell Westbrook. It's four of the most impactful players we've seen in the past 15 to 20 years. I don't understand it. I don't understand why people are picking the Mavericks.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at Luka, we know how he can play in the playoffs, Kyrie, you know, they can play in the playoffs. And as you alluded to, how they closed out with that starting lineup, everyone was really excited about them. But I think it comes down to the excitement from the Mavs perspective. I think it just comes down to that expected playoff performance and probably a doubt for the Clippers. And again, they have the roster, but is that roster healthy? Will that roster gel in time? You have someone like Harden, who is known to have failures in the playoffs. And you have someone like Paul George, who he's had some up and downs, but we know the whole run with playoff P. So going against a guy like Kyrie, a proven champion, a guy like Luka, who we know can take subpar teams and go and beat much better teams, I think that was where we were seeing that doubt. And I think I agree with Bobby in saying that it'll be a long series, but we'll see how Kawhi plays coming back. And I personally think it'll be a long series, and I don't think the Mavs have enough to overcome the Clippers, but I'm excited that this will be at least a competitive one and not a sweep. We're not predicting a sweep.
No, I'm not predicting.
Let's see how Kawhi looks. It's huge that they're getting him back. Let's wrap it with the Wolves and Suns, who are underway as we discuss this. And you're stunned that everyone's picking the Clippers and that, or Mavs in that series, Nate. I'm stunned at how many people are picking the Suns over the Wolves here. And Wolves come out in game one and make a statement there. Edwards, huge game. The moment with KD they shared was maybe the best of the playoffs so awesome. Far. They are a great team, and they have been all year. That could be an interesting second round series between them and Denver if it comes to it. But the Suns just don't have a good team. They have three great players. Grayson Allen has shown out this year as the fourth piece there. And Nurkic will have a great game from time to time. But they are paper thin. And that Wolves team has layers of impact on both ends of the floor. And Towns back in the mix, which could go one of two ways. I didn't know how that was going to go, but it went okay in game one. I think the Wolves are just much better than the Suns. I think they get this one in six.
I disagree. I mean,
you got the Suns?
It never fails. Every playoffs, it never fails. Somehow, some way, Rudy Gobert is going to be unplayable. And when that happens, the other team is going to
win. It didn't happen in game one.
It never fails. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen this series, I promise you Michael Malone is going to figure out a way to make it happen the next series. I promise you. It's going to happen every single time. They're the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA. Something, whatever will go wrong, will go wrong. That being said, the Suns, it's iffy, because if there's one team that could choke this all away, choke the Rudy Gobert choking all away, it's the Suns. I mean, Devin Booker.
They should have been a play-in
team. The man was on a team that was down 50 in game seven. Kevin Durant, I mean, I have my critiques of Kevin Durant, but I love the fact that he in the moment when Anthony Edwards is talking trash to him, he can sense this is a moment in NBA history, and I love it. I love how you just see it all over his face. He's enjoying every second of it. I really appreciate that, the love of the game that we see from Kevin Durant on a daily basis, on a nightly basis. I really appreciate that. Bradley Beal, I mean, come on, really, Bradley Beal? I mean, anyway, Frank Vogel also, like he's a good defensive coach. It's weird. The coaching hire never made sense to me, because you hired a defensive coach for an offensive team. Makes absolutely no sense to me. But all that being said, if there's one thing that I think is stronger than all my doubts for the Suns, it's the fact that Rudy Gobert is unplayable in the playoffs and Karl-Anthony Towns is going to foul out. Those are the two things. And those are the two playoffs. Of the three best players on the Wolves. If those things happen, I don't see how the Wolves win. Anthony Edwards, one of the best players in the league. Nothing against him.
Maybe they figure
Nas
it out.
Reed, I like Nas Reed as well. But when it comes down to players that we have seen, McDaniel's also good. But when it comes down to players that we have seen routinely over and over again fail to come up big or even regular season normal in the playoffs, it has been Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns. And they're both on the same team, and Anthony Edwards has to rely on them. I don't believe in this Timberwolves team 1 second.
Can they get through this round, though, Dan?
I don't know. I feel like it's that game was surprising, and I hear what Nate
shouldn't have been surprised, and they've been so good all year.
No, I mean the Bulls have been.
I mean
good,
Utah but... was good all year, and then look what happened to them.
Utah,
Utah, yeah, them.
This is a completely different team.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the same guy. They lost. Utah lost because Rudy Gobert was unplayable because he could not guard the perimeter. It's the same guy who's older, plays the perimeter less.
That team didn't have someone like Anthony Edwards. No disrespect to Donovan Mitchell, but I think Anthony Edwards is just proving he's a superstar in this league, which we've all known, but seeing it on the stage in game one, I think that was a surprise. I mean, the Suns were doing everything they could do, and he was just hitting shot after shot after shot. And I mean, the Wolves, as you mentioned, Nate, they got layers to their team. So if you have Anthony Edwards playing like that, and you got to go through the rest of the Wolves, including Gobert, I just think you're going to have a tough time winning a series against that team. Now, I don't think, and maybe I want to have some doubts. I don't think the Wolves, I don't think Anthony Edwards can play like that for a full series. I think, granted, you know, the Suns, they're not the strongest defensive team. I just think the numbers he was putting up and how easily he was scoring, it's not something that I think he can maintain. And Kevin Durant's on the other side. I mean, we're forgetting he's one of the greatest scorers. Maybe we don't forget, but when you have someone like that on the Suns, you're always going to have a chance to win. When you have someone like Booker who can drop 40 like it's nothing, they'll have a chance to win. I just don't think they'll have enough to overcome the Wolves in general. but I think it'll be a competitive series. I think it could go six, maybe even seven. And I think how today's game goes will really tell us what the rest of the series will look like. I expect KD to bounce back. I expect the Suns to bounce back. I don't know what the score is right now. Hopefully I'm not saying this and they're down a million.
It's close early.
I think the Suns will bounce back today, and I wouldn't be surprised if they stole one and can kind of make something out of this series. So we'll see, though.
The one thing I will say
– oh, go ahead. Last thought.
Is if Kevin – like, this is probably the litmus test for how impactful Kevin Durant still is. The whole Suns season seems to have been up and down, whether or not Kevin Durant is – like, Kevin Durant has been playing – as consistent as he's been playing. Well, not really as consistent, because like there are times where like him and Booker don't really mesh well together. But Kevin Durant, for the most part, has still been the Kevin Durant that we expect, at least in the regular season. But now is a time that we see how great this version of Kevin Durant truly is. And I expect him to come out, be the alpha of the team, be the alpha on the court, and win some playoff games single-handedly if he has to, because that's just how great he is and how we've been conditioned, the things that we've been conditioned to expect out of someone who is possibly, once again, another one of those greatest scorers of all time. Devin Booker also can catch fire whenever he wants to, but he's iffy. Like I just mentioned, he was a part of a team that was down 50 in a playoff game, in a game seven at halftime. So that's iffy. Bradley Beal, I never really expected much out of him. I mean, he's been in Washington dropping 30, and then he gets to a winning situation and nobody really knows that he exists anymore. But overall, I think that the one thing that this is going to determine is how impactful Kevin Durant is in 2024.
He's Nate Sperling. He's Dan Scott. Thank you both for being here. Check out Nate's podcast, The Cap, over on his Old Milk Network channel. I'm Bobby Manning. This has been Dome Theory. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all the rest. And subscribe here, CLNS Media, Celtics All Access. We'll post game after Heat Celtics game 2 on Wednesday, and coverage start the playoffs. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.